Shane Jones is joining us from Wellington. Thanks, Shane. Tēnā koe, mate.
Kia ora, morena, folks.
Kia ora, greetings. Thanks for joining us. What's the mahi or the kaupapa this morning? Tama's hosting breakfast, is he?
Yes, look, there's a host of folk here with Tama and ourselves, including our recently dubbed Tā Heruini Parata and Sir Mark Solomon, and a host of folk around the motu. This morning, Tama is outlining his priorities in terms of working with our Māori community and, amongst other things, how regional development intersects with his range of objectives to work more effectively with our iwi.
What stood out so far?
Oh, without a doubt, we've got to embed ourselves in the community so that a lot of the leadership for various kaupapa, certainly in social development, flows from the community and overcome the perception that does dog us that Wellington knows best. Look, there'll be a few controversial politicised issues, but the majority of the people here, they are more interested in saying, okay, and hearing what exactly you're going to do on the ground, who are you going to do it with, and how are you going to do it? And the sooner that any government in our Māori world goes to that level of detail, then the less stress and less alarm you encounter.
Tēnā koe, last week was scrutiny week, but we haven't been getting a lot of feedback. It feels like we need to scrutinise the scrutinisers, but what can you share with us about the value of such a kaupapa through last week? How scrutinised were you?
Well, scrutiny week is a recent innovation, but it serves the same purpose, Dale. Those of us who are ministers, we've led with our chin, talking up the budget, and this is a chance for the MPs on the other side of the house to hold us accountable for our rhetoric. Naturally, people climbed all over me in relation to the oil and gas industry, expediting or accelerating the delivery of projects from the mining sector. There were a number of challenges about fisheries. Have we gone excessive on aquaculture and forgotten about the importance, I suppose, of the local ecosystem? So it's all of those things, but with a specific focus on Te Ao Māori, the issue that people are keen to hear me speak about more, not only during scrutiny week, but in general, is as we move forward with the fast track, how will we ensure that affected Māori communities are both consulted and become beneficiaries of various development projects? And there's still a lot of misinformation around. I was in Kōpū last week, Dale, down in your Tuohutanga, in your Tūrangawawa, down there in Ngāti Maru country, where your tupuna, Tipene Wātene, came from. And we announced and celebrated the opening of the Kōpū Wharf Precinct. And as I was leaving, Catherine Delahunty and various others were protesting, so I went over and engaged with them. And, it was a wee bit of a shouting match, but you get that in politics, a bit of slanging, but I don't want anyone to think that when I go anywhere that I'm afraid or unwilling to front up to any group of New Zealanders, whether they're a hapū or professional protesters, of whom Catherine Delahunty is a gold medal winner in that regard.
Squawking hecklers, you describe them as. I was just speaking with Harry McKay about that very kaupapa, to be honest. What satisfies you most about being involved with securing the funding to give a modern day shot in the arm for a mahi on tikapa moana?
Yeah, well, I see a lot of taitokero when I go to an area like tikapa moana. They've got a blessing there, which is the entirety of the moana. Naturally, Harry McKay, a very esteemed personality, he took over from the days of Uncle Shu Tukukino, who I remember as a boy just finishing St. Stephen's and starting the protest movement myself. And he had a niece called Betty Williams who spent most of her time yelling at me, telling me to sit down. Sadly, I had to listen to her, so I was about 26, 27 at the time. But you know, that's all part of growing up. Most satisfying, I think, for both my leader, Winston, and I, was the fact that this infrastructure will last 30, 40, 50, 60 years. It's set upon the river that Captain Cook actually had his people navigate. So there's a tremendous degree of New Zealand history in and around there, often eclipsed because there's frequently a greater focus on the north. But there was a hell of a lot of early exploratory activity from the colonists, from the missionaries, and the early Pākehā navigators who came well before the Treaty of Waitangi was signed. So when you build infrastructure, you're hoping that it will accelerate other types of investment, training, and, you know, irrespective of how long we hang out in politics or we last on the face of the earth, that particular infrastructure, like the new Kōpū Bridge, will be there well into the times of our moko. And infrastructure of that nature, it gives confidence. Infrastructure that accelerates the creation of new industry, or it creates convenience for people where time is such a precious commodity. If they enjoy recreating, or they are using it for the purposes of servicing their marine-based craft, such as the mussel industry.
Tēnā koe, Shane. The fast-track legislation is the hot topic, really, and how much will the public know about who have put a tono forward for consideration to the panel that will eventually hear their case and decide on the efficacy of their approaches? So is it public information about the list of those wanting fast-track opportunities?
Yeah, so the model at the moment is that such proposals are being considered by the TAPSOL Committee, and that's the committee chaired by Mr. TAPSOL, the lawyer from Rotorua. And then, after that has been tabulated, ministers will make a call as to which projects ought to proceed and be included in the actual legislation. And it's planned that such projects will be included in what's called Schedule A of the proposed legislation, and they'll be dropped into Parliament. I'm not aware of any other decisions that are being made as to when exactly those projects will have gone through the process of being sieved and tested and compared against the criteria by the TAPSOL Committee. And I know there is a lot of interest, and quite frankly, there's a great deal of myth-making as well from my friends who believe in the Fred Flintstone economy, otherwise known as the green NGOs. But I don't want to see these projects demonised or stigmatised. They're participating in a legitimate set of processes, and I'm very nervous about the public learning via the green movement, who have only an agenda to trivialise and stigmatise these projects.
Tēnā koe. Mihi kā koe me tō whanau o te wā Matariki e hoa. Is New Zealand First committed to the longevity of Matariki as a public holiday?
In the Book of Job, just to show and educate your listeners.
Thank you.
Job looks up at the sky in the Bible, and then he poses the question, who can join? Who can join Pleiades and Rigel, Matariki and Tautoru? So as old as the Bible is, Matariki has been around. New Zealand First has no intention of trying to pluck Matariki either from the political sky or the celestial sky.
So I can take that as a yes. You support Matariki as a public holiday, Mairano,
forever. No, We're not changing any public holiday to do with Matariki. We've got far more pressing issues on our plate, not the least of which is to reinvigorate and accelerate the growth of jobs and the strength of our economy.
Tēnā koe, Shane. Thanks very much for joining us from Wellington.
Hang on a second.
I was supposed to ask you about live animal export. What's your tag in here? Might have missed that chance. I did.